Florida's current revenue shortfall is one of the worst in state history. Earlier this month, a legislative budget panel urged by Governor Charlie Crist took $672 million from Florida's budget stabilization fund, which must be paid back within 5 years. Legislators will meet again in November to deal with the remaining $1.5 billion shortfall. And next year, the shortfall is slated to be more than $3 billion. In the last few days, WMNF spoke with two state legislators for their thoughts on how they'll approach the budget deficit when they return to Tallahassee. First, we spoke today with Bradenton area Republican House member Bill Galvano.
The governor has to pull more money out, but we did give him the ability to do that as part of the budget process last year. Going into this next year, we have still another shortfall in revenues, and so we're going to have to cut what could be as much as $3.5 billion out of the state budget. The approach that the Florida House is going to take is to really try to zero-base budget, to look at all programs from top to bottom and then make some assessments from there. And so that's really the challenge that we'll have going into next year's session, and it's going to take a lot of discipline and a lot of work.
Do you support Governor Crist imposing a 4% spending reduction in all state agencies?
Yeah, and actually the agencies have already geared up for that. And that may be something that we will just go ahead and adopt early on in the session. The bottom line numbers from the impact of that 4%, you know, so that could be a bit elusive because you have some federal match and some other things that go on within those agencies. But that was the prudent thing that the governor did. It was a prudent thing to do, and I support it.
Amendment 5, of course, was shot down by the courts recently. Were you in support or against that proposal?
I was actually in support of that proposal.
Well, you know, there's a lot of fears that that people who support public education spending had on that. I guess that's one reason the court knocked that down. Are you still hearing from your constituents about property taxes? We did have Amendment 1 come in last year, and that has had some effect. Amendment 5 was going to go even further with that. What are your thoughts about the issue of property taxes?
Well, property taxes still remain an issue. I don't think the hue and cry is as loud as it was maybe 9 months ago to a year ago. I think there was a lot of support out there for Amendment 5. People believe that there are exemptions that exist that we need to take another look at, and we could be more disciplined in how we apply our sales tax. I don't think those type of issues are going to go away. You know, even during the special session on taxation, that was what was basically Amendment 5 showed itself in the form of an amendment a few times.
Amendment 5 also is kind of the brainchild of former State Senator John McKay. A few years before, Senator McKay has always had this idea of looking at all the different things that have exemptions here, because sales tax is the main engine where we're getting our revenues in the state. What are your thoughts about, I don't know whether it would come in another proposal or an amendment or what have you, but again, looking at all the exemptions that some of these businesses have in terms of the state student sales tax?
Well, I think you're right. Senator McKay, you know, had the right approach. You can't just leave things as they are without reevaluating from time to time. And I think there is an appetite that exists right now to make sure we are applying the sales tax system in the most fair way. And probably you will see that issue resurface not only towards the end of this year, but during next session and probably even beyond that, just to make sure that we have an equitable system and are maximizing our revenues.
For the Democratic Party perspective, WMNF spoke over the weekend with the outgoing House Minority Leader, Dan Gelber. For the Democratic Party perspective, WMNF spoke over the weekend with the outgoing House Minority Leader, Miami Beach's Dan Gelber. Gelber is running for a state Senate seat in November.
Well, first of all, we didn't get into this mess in a couple of weeks. We got into this mess in 10 years. And the one thing you don't do right now is eat your seed corn. What I mean by that is you don't cut public education when people are unemployed and looking for other opportunities. You don't cut higher education and community colleges when people need to be trained for new jobs and to improve our workforce so we attract high-wage jobs. That's what you don't do. And that's what's going on right now. The Republicans are literally cutting public education hand over foot. We're turning kids away from school. We're cutting high schools and junior highs and elementary school teachers. We're doing all the things you shouldn't do. So the one thing you don't do is cut core services like public education and health care. What I think we ought to be doing in Tallahassee is rearranging our priorities. You know, the one group that was totally protected in these last budget cut sessions were these special interest tax giveaways. It makes no sense to preserve a tax giveaway that literally does nothing for everyday Floridians, that advances no public purpose, and cut public education and health care. That makes no sense, and that's what Democrats are going to be saying. Let's reprioritize. Let's not cut what we shouldn't cut, and let's get rid of what makes no sense and is government waste.
Who's it? Is it Ray Sansom? Is that the new House leader now?
Yes, the House Speaker.
Okay, yeah, so Sansom's in. You got new leadership. What do you make of those guys? I mean, I'm sure they're nice guys, but, I mean, will the policies be different than that of Marco Rubio?
I hope so. I mean, I do like Ray. I like Marco. I mean, we're friends, and I think they're essentially good guys. But they've got to escape the conservative orthodoxy that has really controlled their party. You know, they protect these special interest tax giveaways, even the ones that serve no public purpose, when the truth is that money should be spent on either real property tax relief or education. And we've suggested that. It's not about just raising taxes. It's about reprioritizing the budget so that the giveaways that make no sense go to tax relief and public education. Now, I don't know. I don't want to prejudge Ray. I think he's a reasonable guy, and my hope is that right-wing orthodoxy doesn't constrain him and that he's free to do what I think right-headed people should do, which is care deeply about our public school students, care deeply about our seniors and our children, and not cut those core services that are so critical to Florida's future.
We talked to you after the initial court ruled against Amendment 5. You were not certain if that was still going to hold through, but it did. Amendment 5's off, 7 and 9 as well. That was a victory.
Well, yeah, I mean, well, first of all, 7 and 9, which really just enshrined vouchers into our Constitution, were really a bad idea for Florida. Floridians don't want our public education system privatized. They want it fixed. We need a better accountability system, one that doesn't dumb down our schools, which is what the EPCAT has done. And we need the resources so we don't have to cut core services in public education. And that's what we need to do. They don't want vouchers. They don't want to privatize public education. 90% of Florida school kids are in our public schools. We got to take care of them. Amendment 5, the problem with that basically was it pitted people who really need tax relief against public schools that really need resources. And it was a lousy choice to give voters. And the legislature has to come back with tax relief that is not created and funded on the backs of school children. Shouldn't be so hard to do, but we somehow can't seem to do it that way.